Testaments with you this morning. I'm going to take you back to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4, and I want to pick up verse 30, and then I'm going to ask you to turn down to chapter 5, look down to chapter 5 and verse 18. I want to set in our bookends this morning two of these very important commandments that are given to us in the Scripture when it comes to our relationship with the Holy Spirit. We covered a lot of this last week, but I want to put it back in motion again for us. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 30, the commandment is, Paul says, don't grieve God's Holy Spirit. You were sealed by Him for the day of redemption. And drop down to chapter 5, Ephesians 5 and verse 18. And there it says, and don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless actions, but be filled with the Spirit of God. The actions of those verbs, whether it's grieving or whether it's filled, are in the imperative. So we're commanded not to grieve God's Spirit. We are commanded to be filled with the Spirit, which is more the positive than it is the negative. There's one other commandment that I'm going to share with us this morning in our relationship then with the Holy Spirit, and I'll look at that here in just a moment. But I want to encourage you again. This is I covered two weeks that we covered about what it means not to grieve God's Spirit. And so we don't want to offend the Spirit of God who lives in us, right? We don't want Him to have sorrow in our life. And so the Bible then gives us a lot of different scripture to help us work through what it looks like when we do sin. I hope that you know John 13, the foot washing of Jesus, right? We need the daily cleansing of the Lord. Friends, if you haven't studied today or haven't quoted today, 1 John 1:9, if I confess my sins, He's faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all righteousness. That is how we keep from grieving, offending the Spirit of God in our lives. Remember that we have to have self-evaluation. We have to evaluate ourselves, self-judge ourselves based upon the passage over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And there may be times in our life when we fail not to deal with sin that God has to discipline us based in Hebrews chapter 12. So therefore, we always should be wanting to confess our sin. And that will help us then not to grieve the Spirit of God who lives inside of us. Now, probably next Sunday, if it's the Lord's will, or one of the Sundays it'll come up, I'm going to pick up that other commandment there in chapter 5, Ephesians 5 in verse 18, what it looks like and what it means to be filled with the Spirit of God. But I want to take you to a commandment that Paul mentions in another letter, and it is still in the understanding of our relationship with the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to ask you to turn over to the right, over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And it's to the end of that letter, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I'll begin reading in verse number 16. And I'll read down through verse 22. So the actions of verbs, sometimes they're in the imperative form, and so we're commanded. We don't want to grieve the Spirit of God. Notice here that there is another commandment when it comes to our relationship with the Spirit of God who lives inside of us. Notice here Paul mentions in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, he says, rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Don't stifle the Spirit. Your translation may say, don't quench the Spirit, and don't despise prophecies, but test all things and hold on to what is good, and stay away then from all kinds of actions that are any kind of thing that is evil. I want to draw your attention then to the Spirit of God and the commandment of not quenching God's Spirit, not to stifle God's Spirit. What does it mean to stifle the Spirit of God inside of us? It's different from the commandment over in Ephesians where it tells us not to grieve the Spirit. The word here means to extinguish. And I want to do a word study real quickly with you, and I want to show you where this word stifle or quench, whatever translation you may have, where it is used in other places to give us something of an understanding of what that looks like. If you want to follow along with me, or I'll quote this as I go through it. If you go back to the final chapter of Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 16, we find our word. Ephesians 6:16. Here Paul is going through the spiritual armor that we're to dress ourselves in. And he says in Ephesians 6:16, he says, in every situation, take the shield of faith, and with it you will be able to extinguish all of the flaming arrows of the evil one. There's our word, to stifle, to quench. It means to hear that he says that when we have the shield of faith, that we'll be able to put out then all of the flaming arrows of the evil one. Turn over to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9 and verse number 44. Mark 9:44. In Mark chapter 9 and 44. All the way down, this is Jesus' teaching on hell. Mark chapter 9 and verse number 44. Jesus says very clearly here, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. So we find that even in Jesus' life, in Jesus' teaching, he talks about that there will be a time in the future when people die without a relationship with the Lord, and there's a fire that is not stifled, a fire that is not quenched. So when we live by faith, then we can extinguish all of the temptations of Satan because we're basing our lives upon the Word of God and we're living by faith. Now, looking at those verses and trying to come up with a definition of what it means over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, when the Bible commands us not to extinguish, not to quench the Spirit of God, what does that mean? What does that look like? Well, friends, I want you to first of all understand that the ministry of the Spirit of God inside of us is never going to be totally extinguished. I'm not going to be able to put out the ministry of the Spirit of God inside of me. But there is some of the understanding that the Spirit of God then I could stifle His work, that I could quench some of the fire of the Spirit of God in my life to really produce in me and through me what He intends to do. Now, I think I've shared this illustration with you before, but let me say it again. We've all been in church long enough that we've used this term or we've heard this term along the way, and we would say, you know, there's old Henry, and boy, he's really on fire for the Lord, right? You've heard that term, right? There's someone, you know, somebody in the church, and somebody will point the finger and say, that man or that woman is really on fire for the Lord. Now, what does that mean when they're really on fire for the Lord? Well, friends, what it means is that, man, they want to witness. They're faithful in coming to church. They're, you know, wanting to do something for the Lord. And so the energy of the Spirit of God inside of them is very, very evident, right? I mean, they're just every conversation, not every, but most of their conversations is about the Lord. They're sharing with their neighbors. They're sharing with their family. They're sharing with people around them. And everything and all of their focus then is upon Jesus. They're really on fire for the Lord. Well, what happens in the life of a born-again Christian that when we look at our life, that it seems that the longer that we're saved, the less that we begin to talk to other people about the Lord. The longer that we're saved, the less impressed that we are about all of the things that God has done, is doing, and will do for us. There has to be a time in most of our lives when we are quenching the Spirit of God in our life. Now, when I quench God's Spirit or I stifle God's Spirit, that doesn't mean that the Spirit of God is going to leave me. It doesn't mean that I'm going to wake up tomorrow and the Spirit of God is no longer going to be inside of my heart. It never means that. Because we understand that once we become a born-again Christian, the Spirit of God will always reside in me. In the words of Jesus, that He will be in you forever. But friends, it is in His work, right? We're not dealing here with sin, because that would grieve the Spirit of God. But the Spirit of God wants to flow through me. He wants to use me. And what I believe that when we look at the grieving, the stifling of the Spirit, the quenching of the Spirit of God, is it comes down to my life as something that is unyielded to the will of God that He has revealed to me. In other words, there's a time in my life when I begin to resist God's Spirit. God wants to do something in my life, and the Spirit of God begins to work in my life in such a way, but there's a moment, there's a time in my life when I begin to push back from that, and I begin to resist what God wants to accomplish, and therefore in that resisting, that what I'm doing is that I'm stifling, I'm quenching the Spirit of God, and He's not perfecting in my life exactly what He's setting out to do. Now, I'm going to stop here, and I'm going to say some things that most of us, maybe all of us here today, would not agree with. And you know what I say? You know, that's okay, right? And I hope that you would say the same thing about what I'm going to say. Preacher, that's okay for you to say that, because I understand, you understand, I hope that we all understand, that when we study the Bible, there are some foundation things that will never, ever change. I believe the 66 books that we hold in our hands this morning, that is the Bible, is God's inspired word. I'm never going to change on that. Friends, if we disagreed with that, then that is a major disagreement. I understand, you understand, that there's only one way to heaven, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one and only way. He is God's Son. He died for my sins upon the cross of Calvary. Right? Those are foundational, and they will never, ever change. But friends, as we study the Scripture, as we study the Bible, there are some things that we may differ with. And I'm going to differ with most of us here today. But remember, this okay, right? Don't throw stones at me and so forth. So let me deal here with some of the things. So an unyielded life, what does that look like? The Bible commands us that we are not to quench the Spirit of God. We're not to stifle Him. The Spirit of God inside of me has this energy that only He can, that only He has. And He wants to do perfect a work in my life. And when I simply push away from that, I'm resisting the Spirit of God. Now, friends, it is in my view, in my opinion, that there was a time in my life before I became a Christian that the Spirit of God moved in my heart. And when He gave me and presented to me the gift of salvation, that at that moment in time, the Spirit of God was irresistible. I'm one of a few people that believe then that the grace of God is poured out upon an individual's life, and the grace of God is something that we cannot resist. Now, you may differ with that. That's okay. You may believe that in your life that you can that a lost person can resist that, right? And you know, it becomes a battle between God and the Spirit, or a God and you and the human, and we're battling with that, and that we can walk away from the grace of God, and you're okay in that. And I hope that you will say the same thing in my life when I say and I believe in the irresistible grace of God. Friends, let me encourage you to go back to the Scripture and think about our father Adam. Oftentimes I hear people refer to, oh, Adam in the Garden of Eden, he had a free will. Adam had a free will, I have a free will. And friends, all of those things are a little bit different. It's simply because that when we look at Adam before the fall, Adam lived before the fall, before he had sinned. And there in Adam's life, he had a free will, that he was able to choose to obey God or disobey God. Adam, you're free to eat any fruit in the garden except the tree in the middle of the garden, right? Don't eat of that. And so Adam was free. He had a choice whether he wanted an orange or an apple or whether he wanted whatever fruit that he wanted of that day. And he was free to do that until the day in his choosing to disobey God, and he ate the fruit that God told him not to eat of, and all of a sudden, the Bible tells us that something went on in Adam's life. There was a change that come about in Adam's life. He went from someone that knew the Lord to a moment where all of a sudden there was guilt, and there was shame, and there was separation. No longer did he want to hear the voice of God calling in the cool of the day. What did he do? He ran away, and he hid from God. He didn't want to see God anymore, because all of a sudden, all of the problems of sin came into Adam's life. And yet the Lord God came looking and seeking for Adam, because in that state of lostness, Adam was unable to help himself. And it took the Lord God Almighty to come to the Garden of Eden and cry out, "Adam, where are you?" It became the power of Almighty God to come to Adam and to seek after him. And there Adam came to know the Lord, and there was a change that came about in Adam's life as he left that garden that day. Friends, there's not one human being except for Adam and Eve that ever went through that type of experience. They were saved, and then they were lost, and then they were saved again. Friends, they were very unique in the Garden of Eden. So therefore, it is very difficult for us to argue today that we're just like Adam. Because, friends, let me tell you that Adam was our father. And what Adam had in him is the seed of all humanity. And therefore, when Adam sinned and when Adam fell short of the expectations of God, that he fathered the whole human race of sinners. That the Bible tells me that I'm a sinner by my very nature. No one had to tell me, instruct me how to do wrong. When I was born and when I began to live my life, right? It was my nature to do that. Now, friends, I believe that in the fall of Adam, that in this idea of accepting and having a free choice and all of these things, friends, it was marred. There was a bondage that came upon the human will. And so, in other words, when I was a little boy, yes, I chose, right? I was choosing what I wanted to do and what commandments that I wanted to disobey when my mother and father tried to instruct me. But friends, there was a separation from me and God. But there was a time in my life when the Spirit of God came looking for me, and he called me out of my time of being dead. Remember Ephesians chapter 2, where the Bible says very clearly that we were dead in our sins and transgressions. Friends, a dead person can do what? What can a dead person do? Absolutely nothing. It has to be the miracle of God to move over a dead person and cause that person to have life, and then we are awakened spiritually, right? There is a born-again experience. There is a new life that comes into the life of a believer. So we go from dead to being alive. Now, for the last 35, I don't even remember the years now, that I've walked with the Lord. You know what I have today? You know what I have as a Christian today? I have a free will. Now I'm restored back to what Adam had, because the Spirit of God is in me, and now I am regenerated. So today I have a choice of whether I want to obey God or disobey God. It is a choice that I make daily of whether I want to grieve the Spirit of God who lives in me, or whether I want to be filled with the Spirit of God, or whether in my life, whether I want to resist the Spirit of God and the work that God wants to accomplish then in and through my life. And so now there's this struggle that goes on. Am I going to obey God? Am I going to disobey God? Am I going to resist the Spirit of God? Am I going to resist what He wants to accomplish in my life? And friends, that brings us back to the commandment where the Bible says that we should not, we must not stifle to quench the Spirit of God as He works in and through our lives. So we have to yield our lives then to the Lord. Now, a couple more things here before I take you to the text, and we try to back up some of this. Friends, would you agree with me today? Would you agree with me today that and I'm speaking to us as a body, as a church today, would you agree with me if we didn't do anything from this day forward to the Lord, that the purpose of God in this community would continue on? Would you agree with that? That if I don't do anything else, you know, if I say I'm never going to preach another sermon, I'm never going to read another Bible, would God's work continue on after I make such drastic decisions? Would it? Am I responsible for the work of God here? Do I carry that load upon my shoulders? And if I don't do it, no one else will. Right? Remember, that's that creeping sin of pride that creeps in. If I don't do it, no one else will. No, Elijah, I have 7,000 over here that's never bowed the knee to Baal. I'm the only one left. I'm the only one that can do it. No. Friends, listen. God's purpose, His work, is going to continue on in this world. And friends, that is the overall purpose of God. And you know, here's the point I'm driving at. God's purpose, His work in the world, that He will do that with or without us. And friends, that's the point that we need to understand. What I want to do, and I know you want to do, is that we want to participate within the work of God. So how do we do that? We learn to yield our lives to the Lord, right? He's going to do it with or without us. His work, He's saving people. He's changing people's lives in this community, in the world, and that He's bringing this world to a conclusion, and He's going to do it with or without us. Lord, I want You to use me. Lord, I want the Spirit of God to come inside of me, and I want Him to lead me. I want Him to guide me. I want Him to fill me with His Spirit. With His energy, and therefore I can be sensitive to the Spirit of God in my life, that I can join in with Him in His work. For me, that changes the dynamic. It's all about me. It's what we're doing as a church, right? We're making a difference. It's all about us. No, it's not all about us. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. It is all about the Lord. Our eyes always has to be upon Him. And we join in. The Spirit of God's working in our life. And we have to join in with Him and participate within what He wants to do. And in other words, we yield ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me back up some of that this morning. I want you to turn over with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, and I'm going to pick up reading in verse number 12. Romans 6:12, and let's see here what this looks like and how this works out. Romans chapter 6. And I'll be reading in verse number 12 and following. Romans 6:12. It says, Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you will obey its desires. And do not offer any parts of it to sin as weapons for unrighteousness, but as those who are alive from the dead, offer yourselves to God and all the parts of yourselves to God as weapons for righteousness, for sin will not rule over you because you're not under the law, but you're under grace. So friends, notice there how Paul refers to the body that we live in, right? We don't let sin master us. How could Paul make such a statement like that if we don't battle with sin nature, the sin nature inside of us? There's days where I let sin rule over me. And what is he going to rule over? He's going to rule over the entire faculties of who we are as human beings. He's going to affect our minds. He's going to affect, he's going to affect our emotions, our heart, our life, the direction of our life. We're going to let all of that sin take hold of us. And once we do that, once we become unyielding to the Lord, then we're stifling, we are quenching the work of the energy of God inside of us. And so therefore, the Bible says very, very clearly that we are to be obedient. You know, the one thing that that we can say in our lives as Christians, I want to join in what God is doing in the world. I don't want to do God's work, right? God's going to do his work. He's going to perfect his work in his world with or without me, right? We don't need to carry that burden upon our shoulders. If I don't do it, no one else will, right? No, God is God. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of God. He's going to do his work. I don't have to tell you the wrong that you're doing because that is the Spirit of God's work, right? I don't have to convince you that we're sinners, that we do wrong. That is the Spirit of God's work. I don't have to empower you, to motivate you to do the work of God because that is the Spirit of God's work in your life. Friends, the Bible tells me that I want to join in with the Lord. And how do I quench the Spirit of God when the Lord Jesus Christ begins to reveal to me what his will is for me, and I say, no, Lord, that's not what I want. And friends, it is then and there that the Spirit of God is quenched in my life. He is stifled. That kingdom of God, that work of God that he is doing is going to continue on, and whether I participate or whether I do it, whether I'm part of that or not, his work will continue on. Friends, can you imagine this? And by the way, this is evangelist preaching here, right? Can you imagine what it will be like one day when it's all said and done? And maybe we're at the judgment seat of Christ at the Bema. And there at the Bema, we have an opportunity that God gives us to look back over our Christian life. Remember that the judgment seat of Christ is not a place where he's going to say, look, you lied, you stole, you cheated, you did all of these things, right? Nope. Remember, all of that's been taken care of on Calvary. Jesus died for our sins upon Calvary. But friends, it seems best to understand, what did I do in my spiritual life? Did I quench the Spirit? Spirit of God wanted me to be a part of God's work in the world, and I was unyielding to that. Can you imagine what that would be like to stand before him and to look back over the pilgrim pathway and to know that we did not serve the Lord and that we were unwilling to give him a yielded life and let him perfect in us and let us join in with what he was doing in this changing world. Now, friends, it sounds like that in that type of preaching that you have to be a preacher, or you have to go to Africa, or you have to do something, you know, strange or wild, right? No, friends, I don't think it. You know, there's probably some people that knew it need to do exactly that. But it's the everyday living. It's the everyday things that we're doing as we serve the Lord. It's the place that God has placed us, of allowing him to speak through us and for the Spirit of God to regenerate us, that we're not quenching the Spirit of God in the placed in where God has placed us. Let me turn over for just a moment to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse number 23. Jeremiah 10 and verse number 23. This Jeremiah is telling us here some very important things about our life. Jeremiah 10 and verse number 23. Jeremiah speaking to the Lord, and the Lord speaking to Jeremiah, he says, Jeremiah 10:23 says, I know, Lord, that a man's way of life is not his own, and no one walks And no one who walks determines his own steps. Now, friends, I think that's important to realize that if God is our creator, if he is our maker, then, friends, he has a right then to direct our steps and to direct our paths. And none of us is, hopefully none of us here today is living for ourselves. That my life is not a self-directed life. That I'm not simply living for my glory or my praise or my ambitions in life. It is all about following the Lord and joining in with who Christ is and what Christ has done in the fact that he is bringing this world to a close, and we can be a part of that. We can serve him. Now, one of the things that we've studied over in the book of Ephesians, remember that when we came to chapter 4, was that of looking at unity through diversity. And the unity through diversity is that there's one body, right? One body, one faith, one baptism, one spirit, one Father who is in all and above all, right? There's this unity. So we don't have a different spirit than another church out here that believes in the Lord and so forth and so on. But we all have different gifts, and we all have different places of service. And remember that that is the way God is chosen to bring his purpose in this life, right? And we can join in on that. So I encourage you that if God is speaking to you today, that you will not say something like, "No, Lord, I don't want that." If you're saying, "No, Lord," then, friends, that is certainly quenching the Spirit of God in and through your life. I'm almost finished. Stay with me. And I'm about 5 minutes away, 10 minutes away. I want you to turn over to a very familiar passage in Romans chapter 12 for just a moment. Romans chapter 12. And let me show you the thing that God is desiring in our lives. When you think about, oh, I'm going to do something for the Lord, I'm going to make a difference in this world. Well, this is how you do that. In Romans chapter 12, in those first two verses, we really find a full dedication of ourselves to the Lord. Remember that the way God communicates today is through his body. We are the body of Christ, and God communicates in and through his body. If I don't do anything, you know what? God is going to do it anyway. Friends, I want to join in with that. I don't want to say, "No, Lord." I want to have a commitment to him. And here's how Paul says that in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1 and 2. Paul says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, and this is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is good, pleasing, and the perfect will of God." Friends, what is it that God wants in your life? Does God want a big sacrifice from you? He's wanting you to sacrifice something material of value in your life. You need to make a big sacrifice. Is that what he's looking for? The answer is no. The Bible tells me that the cattle on a thousand hills belongs to the Lord. God doesn't need any of that. But what he is looking for is these bodies that we live in. Friends, can we communicate? Can we encourage someone by our words, the words of truth that we have in our hearts? You know, can we minister to other people by giving them a hug and helping them through a difficult time? Can we give someone the right hand of Christian fellowship and telling them that we're praying for them and encouraging them? Here in a few weeks, we're going to have, I guess it's 2 weeks from tonight, we're going to have a time where as a church we can gather on the parking lot and have a time of trunk or treat. Community will come in. Can we be out there in the community and give out a little candy to some little boys and girls and to smile at them and to encourage them? You see, that's what it means when we give ourselves to the Lord. that we don't stifle the Spirit of God, that we don't quench the Spirit of God, that, Lord, you have given me this body, and as you've given me this body, that you can speak your words through me, that, Lord, you can allow me to touch someone who has a need in their life, and that I can represent you, that I can be your ambassador. And, Lord, I understand that if I'm unwilling, if I'm unyielding to do that, you will do it anyway. And Lord, I want to be used of you in that way. Let me close by giving you the example of the Lord Jesus Christ over in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, I want you to see here that Christ is our pattern and what it looks like to be yielding to the Lord, and that we don't stifle, we don't quench the Spirit of God. Hebrews 10:5 and following, the writer of Hebrews says, Hebrews 10:5, therefore, as Jesus was coming into the world, he said, you do not want sacrifice and offering, but you prepared what for me? You prepared a body for me? You prepared a body for me? You did not delight in whole burnt offerings and sin offerings. And then I said, see, it is written about me in the volumes of the scroll that I've come to do your will, God. Friends, he's speaking about Christ, right? And what did Jesus then offer to his Father? What did he have to offer? He offered his body. The emotions, the heart, the will, the mind, the outreach, the very things that could intersect from God to the world, right? And Jesus then was willing to do that. Friends, I ask you today, are you willing to yield yourself to the Holy Spirit and let him allow you to be incorporated into his work? Friends, what a bad thing is for us to say, if I don't do it, no one else will. No, that's the wrong attitude. What we are to say is, Lord, here I am. Lord, take me. Let me serve you, Lord. And I want to give you my life. And therefore, the Spirit of God will energize us. And that we will become on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do that through the body that we live in the hands that we touch, in the words that we speak, and the encouragement that we give to a lost and this dying world that we live in. One of the things here that we can look in the pattern of Jesus, that Jesus, he went where the Father wanted him to go. Friends, are you willing to do that? Are you willing to go where the Father wants you to go? Maybe that's not in Africa. Maybe that's not on a mission trip to Mexico. Maybe that's when the Spirit of God speaks to you and he wants you to go next door, that he wants you to go to a family member. He wants you to share something with someone else. Are you willing? Lord, I don't want to say no. I want to give you my life. Another thing about Jesus is, remember that he was willing to be anything that the Father wanted him to be. What was Jesus? What was he? Remember that he was the sacrifice for the sins of the world. Friends, are you willing to be anything that the Father wants you to be? Because if you're willing to do that, if you're willing to be whatever the Father wants you to be, then our lives are yielded to the Spirit of God, and the fire of God will burn in us, and that we will serve him. And then the last one is just simply, are you willing to do anything the Father wants you to do? Are you willing to do that? Whatever the Father lays upon your heart, whatever Jesus wants you to do, remember, he's going to do it with or without us. He has a purpose in this world that does not, in some ways, the bigger picture depend upon us, but I want to be a part of that. Man, I want to yield my life to the Lord. Friends, if you're here today and you are unyielded, then I would encourage you, you're stifling the Spirit of God. Come back to that. Come back and say, Lord, I'll go wherever, I'll do whatever, I'll be whatever, right? And the answer is always, yes, Lord, yes, here I am, and be obedient to the prompting of the Spirit of God in and through your life. Let us pray. Father, we thank you today for the Word of God that we've studied. And Lord, I think of what you said to the disciples in the upper room over in John chapter 15 when you talked about that obedient, yielded heart and how that the fruit that we would that would come from us would be that of joy and peace. And Lord, that fruit that would remain. Lord, it's amazing that one day when we get to heaven and we look back over this pilgrim pathway that we've lived, that I'll look back on those people in my life that had a part of planting your word in my heart, and those people that invited me to church, and the preachers that encouraged me and spoke truth to me. And Lord, when I get to heaven one day and I look back on that, there will be other people that will come up to me and will say the same thing that I will said to others, and so forth and so on. Lord, we're here today as a body of believers, and we say as a corporate body, as a body, as a church, Lord, what do you want us to do, Lord? Yes, Lord, we're willing to do what you instructed us to do, because we want to be used of you in this community, in this day. And Lord, we accept the fact that it doesn't depend upon us, and your work is going to continue on whether we do it or not. But Lord, we're here today to say, yes, Lord, we'll be whatever you want us to be. We'll do whatever you want us to do, and we'll go wherever you want us to go. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters here today that you'd have your will and way in all of our lives. And we pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me.